Hey, welcome to the Jesus, Sex, and Politics podcast. I'm Micah, and Nathan's not here today because he's not doing his job, but we're going to talk about some really cool stuff. So today in the studio, it's a Sunday, it's a beautiful afternoon, but we have an amazing guest with us who's running for governor in Indiana. She is the current lieutenant governor. She's been on our show before. I know you guys have listened to her, and we get a lot of great feedback whenever she's on, so it's a privilege to welcome to the studio Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch. Thank you for joining us today. How are you?
I'm great, and you know what? Our paths have been crossing so much, Mike, as we attend Lincoln Days together, as we attend political events on the campaign trail.
Do you ever get tired of rubber chicken dinners?
You know, actually, I rarely eat a dinner because I stand in the food line and shake everybody's hand. And by the time I get my meal, it's time to start the program.
That's so right.
I don't have to worry. What about you?
Yeah, I've probably had too many. And if I never have another one again, I'll be just fine. So
you should come down to Warrick County's Lincoln Day dinner. They have surf and turf.
Do they really?
Yes, they do.
They go all out then. It sounds like.
I don't think they make any money. it's a good meal.
That's good. Well, that's good. That's good. We also have in the studio, we have Tony Samuel, who is a political commentator in Indiana. You're well known throughout the state with politics. Tony, how are you?
I'm good. I don't know about well known, but at least you know me, so thanks. I appreciate that.
There's a lot of people that know who you are. I mentioned your name and people are like, oh, we know Tony. We watch Tony. Okay, he tries to defend truth on these, these television shows. So that's good, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to talk to you guys today a little bit just about the political environment in Indiana, highlighting, obviously, your run for governor. What's it been like? This will go out, just in a few days. So we're only going to have, by the time this airs, we're only going to have a couple days left probably about 5 or 6 days left in the gubernatorial race. So how's it going, Suzanne? What do you think?
You know, I think it's going well. Yeah. You know, I'm encouraged, and certainly I have run a grassroots organization and a grassroots campaign. You know, coming from local government and state government, the executive and legislative branches, I've really tried to focus on people. And when I travel the state, Micah, and I visit with people, what I hear consistently, time after time, is people are struggling today because of the high cost of living, inflation, and binomics.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I'm leading the fight to eliminate our state income tax. We want to axe the tax. Now, you know, my opponents say we can't do it. You know, it's a gimmick. But what they're really saying is government needs more of your money and you need less.
It's crazy.
You will always spend your money more wisely than the government, and I'll make sure you get to do it. And for the average Hoosier, that's thousands of dollars of your money. We give back to you, and what do? When you get money,
spend it wisely.
You put it into the economy.
That's right.
Which grows revenues.
Yeah.
You know, we have cut our taxes so many times. When I was a state rep, I cut taxes 12 times, including the largest property tax cut in our state's history. Every time we cut taxes, our revenues grow.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a way to really put money into Hoosiers' pockets, but it's a way to help small business. And then we can attract people to Indiana, because where are they moving to today? Tennessee, Texas,
Florida.
South Dakota, all no-income tax states, which, by the way, their GDP and the population is growing at greater rates in Indiana. So it's a win-win-win. Axe the tax.
I love it. I love that message. And you're right. You've gotten heat from your opponents on this. And I know all of them, too, because it's like a tour, right? Whenever we travel the state.
We can give each other speeches.
That's right. Oh, totally. I was telling Curtis last night, he left out a certain part in his speech at the St. Joe Lincoln Day, and I was kind of like, hey, you forgot that part. And he was like, oh, he's like, you know, it's like, I could give them for you. But I love your axe the tax, but your opponents are saying, oh, it can't be done because of, we need the revenue. And to me, I respond, it's like, the government, you're telling me the government needs more money? Like, that's not a Republican talking point. And you're the only one seemingly making that argument, which is kind of shocking to me.
Well, and the thing is, my last year in the General Assembly was 2013.
Yeah.
We passed a $30 billion budget.
Yeah.
2023, 10 years later, we passed a $44.5 billion budget. We increased government spending by 50%.
Holy smokes.
Before we passed the 2023 budget, Micah, we had a $6 billion surplus. So we held $2.9 billion back and said, this is going to be our surplus. The other $3.1 billion we put into government spending. We increased government spending from the 21 to the 23 budget session by 19%.
Wow.
I'm saying we could have put that money towards eliminating the income tax and we'd be that much closer to getting rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, it can't happen overnight, but we can phase it in.
Yeah.
And we can get rid of it. And when we do, we put money into Hoosiers' pockets, we allow small business to grow, and then we bring people to Indiana. Which What's is, not to get about
I was going to say, that's like Republican 101 right there. Isn't that the Republican way? Like, cut government spending, make limited government, make sure that we have, you know, all of this you know, back in the hands of the people, and then go from there. And that's the, to me, that's really the crux of, you know, of Republicans.
What we're supposed to be doing as Republicans.
Yeah.
Well, and you had all these governors in these Republican states that Suzanne mentioned earlier, you know, 8 or 9 states that are ahead of Indiana as far as taxes go and their economies go. Those governors, Republican governors did it. So why do these other 5 candidates say they can't? It's because, exactly as Lieutenant Governor Crouch said, they want to keep your money. She's for putting it back in everyone's pocketbooks. That message is resonating, I think, from what I see.
Yeah. Tony, do you think, I mean, you work in the government, just kind of lobbying world, you work with legislation. I mean, when you hear something, obviously you're on Suzanne's, you know, team, but when someone tells you as a your government kind of in the weeds kind of guy, hey, we can't do this because we got to have the money for government and we're going to lose all of these services. We won't have police officers. We won't have firefighters. You know, what's your response to that? What's that kind of lobbyist mindset that you have where it's like, no, this can be done and why?
Well, and I've seen it from the inside in this respect as well. I've been on staff for the House Republican caucus when Suzanne became a state legislator, state representative. I was the communications director for Brian Bosma, who was speaker at the time, and I'd been there a few years, and I was there a total of 6 years, and I've worked in other parts of government and now government affairs with my own firm. So I've seen it a bunch of different ways. It's all about courage, and she's got the courage to say that we're going to do this, to have the vision, and then to implement it, and she's got the experience and has done so many things throughout all of her stages as a county official, a state auditor, now lieutenant governor. So you've got to believe in that, and I think that, like I said earlier, that message is resonating. But these other guys, they don't have the plans, they don't have the vision. When you don't have a plan and you don't have a vision, then you really can't trust that these folks are going to, you know, look out for your best interests.
Yeah, that's right.
And we don't cut services, Micah, because what we do is in 25 budget session, we take that $44.5 billion budget we passed in 2023, but we limit how much we allow it to grow, okay? Mm. So we let it grow at the cost of living or the rate of inflation.
Yeah.
You know, we don't cut services. But then what I also want to do is modernize state government, downsize our agencies, get rid of rules and regulations, you know, make it more accountable, have outside independent audits. When we reorganize government, we'll realize cost savings. Iowa's doing that.
Yeah.
Do you know what they projected their cost savings from reorganizing and downsizing their government to be?
No.
$215 million over 4 years. Our budget's 5.4 times their size. So
wow,
we're talking about $1 billion cost savings over a period of 4 years.
Yeah.
But to Tony's point, none of my opponents have the political courage, nor do they have the experience and know how it can be done. And then they don't have the relationships in the General Assembly. I was a state rep for 8 years. I've been president of the Senate for 8 years. You can have a bold vision, but if you don't have the relationships in the General Assembly, that never becomes reality.
That's right.
I'm going to cut the tax. We're going to modernize government. We're going to make mental illness and addiction a priority for Hoosiers. And we're going to move Indiana forward and deliver results and make people's lives better.
And that's you're putting out a vision that I think resonates with Hoosiers now more than ever, because taxes are killing us. Taxes are just through the roof. Property taxes, income tax. We, Bidenomics, like you said earlier, I mean, this is a result of really bad federal government leadership. But I don't hear the Republican Party talking about this enough. And I'm saying, what is happening? Why isn't this should be out of every Republican's mouth, whether you're in the legislature, whether you're in the executive branch, whether you're running for office, it should be, how do we put more money back into the pockets of Hoosiers and lessen the government? I mean, that's just, we don't need to keep increasing government. So I appreciate your stance on that. And I thank you for what you're doing. And I think it's making a difference, because you've certainly spurred the conversation, and that's a great place to start.
Well, and to your point, you know, it cost you $11,400 more today.
Yeah.
Than it did 3 years ago, just to meet basic household needs. And people are hurting out there. I mean, people are having to make life decisions about, do they pay their bills or do they pay their rent?
Yeah.
You know, and so this is a chance to give people their money back. Give them economic freedom.
Yep.
You know?
I want to move just to the next topic here. You've got a great relationship with legislators, like you said. You also have a great relationship with county officials. County officials, I hear all over the state that they love you. And here's one of the one of the basic things I always hear whenever someone's talking about Suzanne Crouch. They'll say she is accessible. When I call her, she answers my phone call. Like that to me, and literally you have county officials all over the state that love you because you hear them out. You take their call. They seem like you, it seems like you value them. And I love that about you because you're very accessible. You've always been accessible. And how do you maintain that personal retail politics, handshake, getting to know the people when you're running a statewide agency or statewide race? I mean, you're all over the state. How do you do that? I mean, you're good at it. I wish more people had that that ability to do that. Like, what's the secret?
You know, to your point, I've been endorsed by 175 local elected officials all over Indiana,
yeah,
including dozens of sheriffs. And it's because I've walked in their shoes. I understand the challenges that they meet. You know, they know that I understand that together we can make a better Indiana, but it isn't about the local government versus state government. It's about us together. And, you know, I really care deeply about Indiana, and I care deeply about Hoosiers. And that's being able to connect with them, being able to help them, you know, being able to hear their stories and then and make their lives better. At the end of the day, Michael, why are we here? Isn't it to help others?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that our legacy at the end of the day? And so, you know, to me, that's what public service is all about. And I'm thrilled that you're venturing into it.
Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, I tell you what, I'm loving it. It's been an adventure for sure. But to your point, it's about serving others. It's loving people, and you know, God calls us to serve others and love others as we love ourselves, and that's to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. That's the golden rule. So,
and I don't worry about this election outcome. I believe God puts us in places, and I think God puts people in our lives for reasons. And if it's meant to be, it's going to happen.
Amen.
If not, something else will happen.
Yeah, that's
if,
right.
If I could jump in on that, so exactly what we're talking about here is the reason I'm supporting Suzanne. I've known her for quite a while, since 2005, like I said, when she came into the House Republican Caucus. She's always been great to work with, always been good to me as a friend and helpful. And whenever I would reach out to her, she would be there and with an answer or with help or connecting me to somebody that could help, you know, any constituents or anybody that I was looking to assist. So that's the kind, like you hit it on the head, Micah, that, you know, in every stage of her public service, she has been there for people. And that's why, you know, I know Curtis and I know Mike Braun and I know Eric Doden, and I've gotten to know, I don't really know Brad Chambers or Jamie that well, but a little bit. And, you know, you can just tell from the experience and the service. Also in 2016, as you might remember, I was the Trump co-chair of the Indiana campaign along with Rex Early. Suzanne was there for us when Rex and I were traveling around the state. She'd be at our events supporting Trump. And she would, you know, I remember helping her with tickets to the Trump rally, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
She was there from the start, and I've always appreciated that support for anything that I was involved with and for President Trump.
I love it. I love it. In your heart for people, it kind of filters into the next topic here, which is you're a big advocate for mental health, and you got a very powerful testimony personally. Can you go into that and tell us, you know, what should Indiana? It's a hot topic right now. Everyone's talking about mental health. Actually, our sermon today, it's a Sunday right before you got here, was all on mental health, and we're in a 5-week series called "I'm Not Fine." And what does God tell us?
That's okay.
And that's okay, right? It's okay. We all walk through seasons where we're not fine. You're either broken right from the get-go because of sin, or you make mistakes that lead to consequences, or you've got issues, that biological issues. We're all made differently. And so how are you addressing mental illness? I love your passion for it. What's the hope as governor? What can we do to address this?
I've always shared, Micah, I think I've shared with you before, that for me, it's very personal.
Yeah.
You know, my mother struggled with depression. My older brother was an alcoholic and drank himself to death. My younger sister, Nancy, died in her early 20s by suicide, and our daughter, Courtney, 16 years sober. You know, so my life has been touched by Hoosiers that have struggled, and so that is what really is my motivation. But then during COVID, when I saw how people were really struggling, and since COVID, we've seen a 20% increase in anxiety and depression among our population, but a 60% increase among young people, you know, and they are the future of Indiana. And that's why I said, you know, we can't go back and change what is, but we can move forward and make things right and better. And that's why as governor, we will never have mass mandates or lockdowns again, because what it's done to all of us, but particularly our children. And I want to be partnering with faith-based organizations and with nonprofits, being sure that we're meeting people where they are. Because you know what, Micah? 65% of Hoosiers go to church. Look at your church. You know, people come here. They trust you. They're going to listen to you. And so if we can partner together with our faith-based organizations, with our churches and our nonprofits, and get services to people where they are, we're going to be able to serve so many more people.
I love that. I think that's the, you hit the nail on the head. The government's not good at taking care of people. It's the nonprofits. It's the world of charities. It's the churches. And I love that you're saying that you're looking to inspire. It sounds like you're looking to inspire and incentivize nonprofits to do the work of taking care of people, because, you know, government comes in and says, oh, we got the answer. It's what Reagan said. The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm with the government and I'm here to help, right? And I think I love your heart to say, no, the government can't do this very well at all. We can be a safety net, but that's really all we got to, that's really what we are. How can we empower these nonprofits who have amazing people? And I think of Nancy Chance here in Hamilton County with this Good Samaritan network, and she's doing an amazing job taking care of the homeless, the sick, the needy, the orphan, the widow, the poor, and the mentally ill are seeing great help from someone like that. So how do we work with the Nancy Chances of the world or those organizations? It's a good talking point, but do you have any more, like what's kind of the meat of those bones? So if you become governor, what do you do to actually make that happen where faith communities rally behind what you're, how do you do that, I guess is the question.
Yeah, well, you know, I like Tennessee's model.
Okay.
And what Tennessee does is within their Division of Mental Health and Addiction, they have a faith-based initiative where they will partner with churches or with nonprofits at their invitation to be able to give them whatever help and services that they need. But alongside that, we will develop a Bill of Rights for churches so they are protected and they can serve and help and heal people the best of their ability. And so it's empowering churches, because people will listen to their ministers, their pastors, their priests, their rabbis, more than they'll listen to the government.
Yeah.
You know, so
shocking.
You're in such a unique position, Micah, to really get help to people.
Yeah.
Why don't we partner to give them more help?
I love that. So you're just basically saying, hey, we're not gonna have you partner with the government, church, and then make you as a pastor remove the name of Jesus or prayer from you're saying, hey, you understand there's power in prayer, there's power in the name of Jesus, and as a government, we're gonna give you the freedom to be able to walk in that. I think that's amazing. The Bill of Rights would be wonderful. I hear that. I was just talking to a lady up in Lake County yesterday. She works with mental health individuals. And she's trying to get a bill through the legislature right now because she can't do anything with the government because the government keeps telling her, you're not allowed to pray with people. And she's like, the answer is the Lord. And you're telling me, like, I can't do my job if I can't bring the answer right from the get-go. And so I think that's exciting, encouraging. I love that. So.
Well, when we're governor, lieutenant governor, we can work on that.
I would be right there with you by your side. That would be amazing. Thank you.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah,
please. Micah, you and I have gotten together here over the last year a few times and got lunch, and I've gotten to know you, and I really like you, and I'm glad that we're friends. And one thing that we've talked about is this issue, and one thing that I've said, and you say it all the time, is, you know, when I tell my kids and when I tell my friends, what I tell them, I should say, is if kids were to grow up reading their Bible, it makes your mind stronger, teaches you those lessons. You know, anything that we can do to help now, what Suzanne's talking about, is wonderful. On top of that, if we did a better job of making sure our kids learn those lessons and throughout life read their Bibles, that's just kind of my kid.
Love it. Yeah. It's the truth. You know, there's a passage in Scripture. It's John 8:32. It's so simple, but it's so powerful. It says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you think about mental illness is really bondage. It's really people being imprisoned in their own state of mind, and they need freedom. They need freedom from addiction. They need freedom from fear, from anxiety, from suicide. And the way that you receive freedom is knowing the truth. And I think the reason we're seeing mental illness skyrocket in our culture now more than ever is because truth has been kicked out of our culture. We're not allowed to tell school children truth anymore. We can't tell.
We want to teach them what to think, not how.
That's right. That's right. And what to think is there's a element of lies that are being filtered in there, and they're not only being taught what to think, they're being taught lies to think. And then we look around and we say, man, well, why is everyone so in bondage? And it's because as a culture we've rejected truth. And I think
we've rejected God.
We have, yes. I love that you said that, Suzanne, because it's refreshing to hear someone like yourself, someone in the political world, to say, "Hey, we've rejected God, and what do we expect? If we reject God, we can't expect good." I've gotten to know you probably, I don't know, over the last year and a half, and you've been inspiring. And I'm not just saying that. I really have appreciated your heart. You have people ask me about you when I'm out, they'll say, what do you think of all the governor candidates? And so, you know, I'll tell them, you know, my experience with all of them. And every time your name comes up, people, but I don't really know Suzanne Crouch, but, is she just kind of like your typical politician? I'm like, no, she's not. She's the opposite of your typical politician. And I said, she has a genuine heart for people. And you don't see that with most politicians. She's like, you really do care. And I appreciate that about you and what you bring to Indiana. Regardless, Lord willing, you know, you step into the governor's role, but if that doesn't happen, I mean, you've been a light for a lot of people. I just want to say thanks for that. And hey, where can people go to find out about you in the last few days of the campaign here?
Yeah, crouchforindiana.com. And I would ask for everyone's vote, particularly those that are undecided, on May 7th, or you can go to early voting centers and vote early. But May 7th, from 6 to 6, be sure and exercise your constitutional right.
Amen. Amen to that. Tony, where can people go to find out about you?
Well, thanks. I do a weekly television show called In Focus. It's in central Indiana on at 8:30 in the morning on Sunday mornings on CBS4 and 9:30 on Fox 59. It's also on in Fort Wayne, Terre Haute, and Evansville. And I'll, you know, come talk to you anytime you want.
I love it. Hey, by the way, there's two of your staffers that we have not highlighted. They're in here right now. Hey, guys, real quick, say hello to the microphones. Just say hi.
Hello, everybody. Be sure to vote for Suzanne on May 7th.
Well done.
Vote Suzanne on May 7th.
I love it. There we go. We gotta highlight everybody in the room here. So, all right. Well, guys, check out Suzanne Crouch. Get out there and vote. And we're going to see God do amazing things in our state. And I really believe, Suzanne, I think God is prepping Indiana to be a city on a hill for the United States. You know, Reagan talked about us being a city on a hill for the world. I think Indiana is being set up to be a city on the hill for the states, so that other states can look at us and say, man, how have you guys walked in such freedom, such prosperity and blessings? And we can point back and say, well, we know truth. Yep. And this is,
right.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. Well, hey, thanks for joining us today. This has been Jesus, Sex, and Politics. And we are, we're going to see what happens May 7th. It's going to be an exciting day. Get out and vote. Spread truth. And until next time, tune in to Jesus, Sex, and Politics. Like, subscribe, everywhere you find your podcast. We'll catch you later.